Welcome to another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm Ellery Stanek.
We're here to talk about movies.
And specifically, Cinepocalypse. But before that, let's talk about Simon Kinberg. Because he's...
Falling on a grenade.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the one who guided Dark Phoenix out to theaters.
Yeah. He wrote and directed it.
Right. Definitely has all sorts of studio interference.
True.
But it's really, it's a good sign of integrity that he's like, yeah, no, this is
on me.
My mistake. My bad.
My bad.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I will contrast that with a story that I will tell about Cinepocalypse.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is a story that I am telling that this is secondhand information. I was not there for this screening.
Oh, okay.
All right. But I spoke with people who were there. It was quite the topic of conversation in the lounge. And I'll get to how awesome the lounge was done up in a moment. But the opening night film was Verodic.
Yes.
The film debut of director Glenn Danzig.
Yes.
Perhaps best known for his musical work.
Yes. I would say pretty much entirely
known for his musical work.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Misfits is kind of.
And Danzig and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the film, just due to snafus beyond anybody's control, the film arrives to the theater about an hour late.
Hmm.
So audience, cheerful audience, yeah, happy audience, is waiting an extra hour to see the film. But it's Danzig's first movie.
Yeah.
Of course. You'll wait. And Danzig is there, and he is jovial, you know, as jovial as you would expect Glenn Danzig to be, and says, hey, thank you, everybody, for coming out to see my horror debut. This is my first serious bit of horror filmmaking. Please enjoy. The film rolls. Now, again, I have not personally seen the film.
Yes.
I will, though.
Okay.
Well, I will see this movie, but I'm not going to watch it alone.
Okay.
I've learned my lesson on that sort of thing. You see, many outlets are comparing it to The Room.
Uh-oh. Not Room with Brie Larson.
No.
But The Room with Tommy Wiseau.
Like, I did not hit her. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Yes.
That one. Apparently, it's an anthology film, three stories, one of which, each one about half an hour long. Third one is apparently, half of it is just strippers dancing at a strip club. Mm-hmm. Nothing particularly horrifying happening, just naked women. Which, you know, nothing, no complaints here, but when I go to see a horror movie, I expect to at least be vaguely, I mean, I expect to see the effort to scare me.
Yes.
Naked women do not scare me. So, this movie plays, and it...
Unspoken comment. Yeah,
I'm not surprised. The movie plays, and the audience turns on it.
Mm.
And then there's the Q&A.
Oh.
And the Q&A apparently was quite awkward because Danzig held to his
vision.
Yeah. This is what I intended to make. It's a scary movie. And apparently the subject material there scares him. It's like seeing his nightmare projected on the screen. But that's his nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's going to scare anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody is particularly terrified of their mother-in-law hatching spider legs out of their head and putting on clown makeup.
I might.
You might be.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Concept doesn't scare me. That's just, you know.
Well, yes, but I know your mother-in-law.
Well, okay, fair enough. Verodic is not good from what I've heard.
Hmm.
Now, that's just the way it goes sometimes. Some movies aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
Some movies that played at Cinepocalypse.
Yeah.
Were really damn good.
Ah.
Like Belzebuth, a Mexican film. It's a police procedural. It starts out as a police procedural. Okay?
Okay.
And then it goes into this detective, and he is tracking down a renegade priest who is murdering children in large groups.
Huh.
And
again, unspoken comment, but
right. When this detective and the gringo that's sent along to, you know, help him end up catching up to, and the gringo is from the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And the detective is very much disaffected Catholic.
Okay. Heavily lapsed.
Heavily lapsed. And when they catch up to their suspect, the movie turns.
Hmm.
And it is able to... If you were to tell me that I would see a movie that successfully blends the scares of The Exorcist with Seven,
mm-hmm.
I would have said, oh, bullshit, that's too tall of an order. Belzebuth comes pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend that to anybody looking to see a really good film. Belzebuth is worth your time. Let's see here. There's also Villains that played.
Okay.
Which is a great dark comedy about a pair of robbers. They knock over a convenience mart played by Bill Skarsgård and Micah Monroe.
They play the convenience mart?
No, they play the robbers.
Oh.
I twisted my sentence up there.
Yeah. You dangled a participle or something.
I do that sometimes. Unspoken comment? Yeah, thought so. And so they, as they're trying to escape, they run out of gas on a small country road. They walk to the nearest house, and they find that perhaps they are not the worst people in the neighborhood. Mm. It takes the concept of don't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And just goes bonkers with it.
Hmm.
And it plays a really fun, almost Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky level dark comedy.
Hmm.
Really, really fun. Great performances from all. Not necessarily something that'll stick to the ribs, like Belzebuth, but quite good. Dead End is a really interesting exercise in duplicating a style. Argentinian film that could very well have been a contemporary of the movie Diabolique, the original Diabolique, about an author who is attempting, a mystery author, who is attempting to figure out the perfect way to end a novel about a murder that takes place within a locked room.
Okay.
And he encounters his worst critic, professional literary critic, who's dragged him through the mud multiple times,
mm-hmm.
and a young up-and-coming author who's working on similar material, and things just escalate for them. A cat does not make it out. Sorry, catty. Kitty cat. And then Attack the Demons, which is kind of a, imagine if Trey Parker and Matt Stone decided to make their take on Evil Dead.
Hmm.
It's animated in that sort of style. It's got it either has an incredibly dry sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
or absolutely no sense of humor.
Hmm.
And I'm not entirely sold as to which it is. Because I think a case could be made for either. And that's on top of the fun with, like, Total Recall and Flatliners and all of the short mm-hmm. films, like One Last Meal, that played. Just lots of fun stuff. And there's more this week.
Nifty.
Yeah, like this Tuesday, Joe Bob Briggs will be there for a couple hours talking about how rednecks saved Hollywood. With the film clips to back it up. And then on Wednesday, they're going to have the Chicago area debut of Annabelle Comes Home. And then Thursday wraps things up with Airheads, which is, that's just such a fun movie. And the director will be there to introduce the film and hang out with the audience. Next year, I am taking that week, the week of Cinepocalypse off, and that's going to be my summer vacation. I should have done it this year, should have done it the year before. I think I'm going to be doing it every year going forward, because it's just so much fun.
All right. We have an email address.
That we do.
mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
Mm-hmm. That's, of course, not the only way to get in touch with us. You can also contact us via Facebook.
Facebook.com/neonmoviebunker.
Or Twitter.
Twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or @neonmoviebunker or @JohnNMB.
Or @LRANeonMB.
And, of course, if you're going to contact us, you might as well subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts and sign up to get all the shows you can handle.
That's right. Because there are plenty of shows.
There are a bunch of shows. There are 87 shows before this one.
Mm-hmm. And then, swing by the website.
www.neonmoviebunker.com.
We post some fun things there. Of course, you can find all of the shows. You can find movie trailers. And just some cool heads-ups about things happening in film around the world, specifically in the Chicagoland area, too.
Yeah.
So, John.
Yes.
You saw a movie.
I did. I saw a couple of movies.
Yeah, so did I. What have you seen that you have come here to tell us about?
I'm going to talk about Men in Black International.
Hmm, okay.
Directed by F. Gary Gray, written by Matt Holloway and Art Markham, based on characters created by Lowell Cunningham. Stars Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson, Kumail Nanjiani, Rafe Spall, Emma Thompson, Liam Neeson, and Lawrence and Larry Bourgeois. I'm leaving one out intentionally.
I kind of figured.
It is the story of Molly, who 20 years ago saw her parents get neuralized by the Men in Black, but they didn't get her. And so she spends the next 20 years trying to make it into the organization of that protects the Earth from the scum of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
She tries signing up for the FBI. They reject her as being delusional. She tries signing up for the CIA. They reject her as being delusional. Finally, she manages to pierce the veil, as it were, and, well, is welcomed onto the team provisionally.
Hmm.
She's sent to London, where the London branch of MIB has been undergoing some issues. Agent H and the leader of the London branch, T, known as High T,
yes,
have some problems. They've successfully battled an invasion from the Hive,
mm-hmm.
armed with only their wits and their Series 7 deatomizers. Molly, now known as Agent M, quickly discovers that there may be a mole of some kind within MIB, so she doesn't know who to trust. And there's a dead alien, there's an extremely powerful weapon, there's Zephod Beeblebrox's sister. Hijinks ensue. There are jinks, they are high. Eventually, there's an ending that reveals everything that needs revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And things are set up for another sequel. I enjoyed this movie. I laughed at it. And with it, I suppose I should say. I did not have a virotic experience. I found it funny. Chris Hemsworth once again proves that he's a comedian in a leading man's body.
Mm-hmm.
Tessa Thompson is appropriately good as the straight woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kumail Nanjiani kind of steals things a little bit as
Pawnee. Pawnee is fun.
Yes. There's not a lot of weight to this film. You're not going to remember it. it's an experience that's not unlike being neuralized because, you know, after you've seen it.
Although I have recently rewatched the original.
Yeah.
And some clips from the second one. And this one's...
of a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's... yes, it's disposable entertainment.
But it's entertaining.
Right. It's on brand.
Yeah. I would not have, you know... F. Gary Gray would not have been my first choice to direct this.
Did quite good.
Yeah. And... I do want to call out the effects work.
Yeah, the effects work is pretty damn good. Because
there is some really impressive effects work going on.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it 3D?
No, I saw it IMAX.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the stuff involving the twins and the fights therein, it's really good effects work.
Okay.
If you're looking for light summer entertainment, this is a good choice.
Yeah, it is.
Nothing too out of the wild for the kids. Although there are a couple things that might go over their head.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a good time.
Excellent.
And so, Men in Black International in theaters now. You can do a lot worse.
Okay. Available this week on home video is Jordan Peele's Us.
Oh, yay.
Have you seen it since the...
Since the first time I saw it?
Yeah.
No.
You may want to revisit it.
Why?
Because it's got more to it than you remember. Oh, this is going to be one of those, huh?
Yeah. Ooh. This is a movie I have soured on since I've seen it.
How so? Why?
I didn't find it all that scary.
Okay.
I didn't find it all that interesting.
Okay.
I didn't find it all that deep.
Okay.
And... the further I got away from it, the more disappointed I was.
Hmm. It's not obvious. Get Out is a very on-the-nose movie. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one I think you would agree with me is...
oh, yeah.
A fine piece of cinema.
Yes.
This one is not necessarily going to spell out... and the bonus features aren't going to necessarily...
help.
They're fairly light... but they will give you a little bit of a hint as to what Peele was thinking when he put this together. But there are certain key lines within the film, like, you know, who are you people? The response to that gives you a very clear idea of what kind of juxtaposition Peele is giving you. And then there's just the technical aspect of the film, having Nyong'o play both Red and Adelaide. Having Winston Duke, the twin effects, and then the twin effect with the twins. It just, all the way through, each cast member is playing two roles, two very distinct roles,
mm-hmm.
and doing it really well. And there's an element of menace to some of the tethered that, you know, Winston Duke being menacing isn't surprising. But the young lady who plays his daughter, she's probably the creepiest one of them. And that's a tall statement because those four are creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's for something that was kind of sold as a home invasion thriller.
Yeah.
And then goes out into Twilight Zone territory. And does it with, specifically with, Hands Across America,
mm-hmm.
which was this very optimistic, naive symbol, about, you know, helping those who have less, less opportunities, less et cetera.
Less fortunate.
Less fortunate. And did nothing to actually address the issue. When you look at it from a very... When you stop to take a look at it and go, okay, well, what sort of socio-political things could we be looking at here? It becomes an interesting movie. And it still has some pretty good scares to it. I think that it's well worth our listeners' time to revisit it. I think maybe you should probably give it another spin, too. Because I think you are patently wrong on this one.
If I see it again,
mm-hmm.
and I still hate it,
mm-hmm.
can I reserve the right to punch you in the gut?
You can reserve the right to punch me in the gut. I don't know when you'll get to
redeem. I'll just add it to the tally.
Yeah, add it to the tally. Sure. Hell yeah. Not a problem. But I definitely think that Us is worth our listeners' time. I think that it's the one that I'll come back to more often than Get Out, quite honestly. Just because of, part of it is because it is less obvious with what it wants to say, it can also tease out of the viewer a little bit more of what's on their mind as well. So I think that there's a certain fun ink blot effect, which, not surprisingly, ended up being heavily used in the advertising as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an odd movie. It's a weird movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an effective one and an interesting one. Is it what anybody expected from him? No. And that's okay.
Me? I may give it another shot.
I think you should. I definitely think you should. If nothing else, for watching Nyong'o's two performances again. Because Red is freaking terrifying. And where Adelaide ends up is fun. And to see that progression is an interesting thing.
Hmm. So listeners, did you see MIB International or did you see Us? Please let us know what you thought. mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime...
DVDs and Blu-rays.
That's right. And coming out this week on Blu-ray and DVD is Under the Silver Lake, a movie that I haven't had a chance to catch in theaters yet. I almost did over the weekend, but there was Attack of the Demons and Beelzebuth and, so now I can check it out at home.
All right. Also coming from our friends at the Criterion Collection is La Vie... De Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like I haven't seen it, but it's a kind of a brutal sounding French film from the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
When Criterion announced that it was coming out, I went and looked it up on Wikipedia and said, ooh, that looks like something I need to see. Now I can.
Do that one as a double feature. Come on over. We'll watch that and Us. We'll watch Us first, so you can eat your vegetables, and then we'll watch that.
All right.
Excellent. If you're looking for a catalog title to pop into your Blu-ray player, and there's a reason why we haven't gone to the 4K catalog titles yet, other than, not caring. But Universal Horror... is a box set from Scream Factory, where they're taking a collection of four Karloff and Lugosi films that are not Dracula or Frankenstein movies and packaging them together. There's The Black Cat. Let's see here. A couple other not really Edgar Allan Poe adaptations in there. And some fun stuff. Worth checking out. And now in full 1080p.
All right. Got anything for us to avoid this week?
Nothing that comes to, that jumps out at me and says, oh, people are going to want to check this out, and don't let them do it to themselves.
I got one.
Oh, yeah?
Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a conversation with Maggie about Dark Phoenix.
Yeah?
She was like, so was it as bad as you were expecting? Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Hmm. Okay. Hey, Larry.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie. What are we going to go see?
First on my list of things to see right now, still Booksmart.
All right.
Still hanging around theaters and underseen, and that's a damn shame. Next on my list of things to see right now is MIB International.
Okay.
Lots of fun.
Yeah.
And last on my list of things to see right now, The Dead Don't Die.
Hell yes.
Jim Jarmusch makes a zombie movie.
Damn good one. A damn good zombie movie.
That's really funny, right up until the point that it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny.
Ghouls.
The RZA. Mm-hmm. Caleb Landry Jones. Mm-hmm. Selena Gomez.
Yep. Carol Kane.
Carol Kane. Iggy Pop.
Yeah.
And Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton and Tom Waits.
Yeah. It's a blast.
It really is. It really is.
And so we come to the end of another...
No, I have to give my... You know that I'm going to mention Us again, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut you off.
You are. You are. But still...
Here, which of these buttons do I press to do that?
It would be this one right here. So... If you're going to stay home and pop something into your home video player of choice, be it DVD, Blu-ray, or streaming, the first thing that I'd recommend to you is Captain Marvel, a fun bit of 90s-style action sci-fi from the House of Ideas, where you get to see a de-aged Samuel L. Jackson, and most importantly, you get to see the origin story of Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, told on the big screen. It's a mother-flurkin' good time. Follow that up with Us, which, like I said in my main review, is well worth your time and attention. And Climax is my last recommendation for... Here, I'm going to turn you back on. See? I'm not totally evil. Just mostly evil. I'm... Climax, which also is not totally evil, but is in fact mostly evil. In fact, more so than I am. So, yeah, those would be the three that I'd recommend to you right now.
I want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time, mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter @neonmoviebunker. I'm @JohnNMB.
I am @LRANeonMB.
And please subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. And please swing by the website, www.neonmoviebunker.com. Who knows? Maybe there'll someday be something fun we give away if you go to the website.
Mm-hmm. We've done it before.
And we'll do it again.
That's right.
And so we come to the end of another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. This week's episode is produced by LRA Stanek. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Stanek. The theme song is by
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Stanek.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.